Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. House Speaker Mike Johnson is one of several high-profile Republicans who've accompanied former President Trump to court today as his criminal hush money trial continues. Testimony from his former fixer Michael Cohen will resume. Cohen will also be cross-examined. His own criminal conviction is likely to come up. Attorney Arthur Idala, not affiliated with the case, says prosecutors will likely try to get that out into the open.
But he is a paid, like, as long as there's a paycheck at the end of the day, he'll say whatever he needs to say, and the defense has to spin that.
President Biden set to roll out increased tariffs on high-tech products made in China. Tariffs on electric vehicles will quadruple. The administration says it will not make inflation worse, but new numbers show that prices remain high. Labor Department's producer price index was up 2.2% in April. And Secretary of State Blinken's in Ukraine as Russia renews its push into Ukraine's second-largest city. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Federal investigators are looking into a small community in northwest Wisconsin for a possible violation of the Voting Rights Act. The town of Thornapple near Ladysmith switched to all paper ballots last year. Federal law requires at least one machine for voters with disabilities. A complaint has been filed with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court sound reluctant to reopen unstaffed absentee ballot drop boxes. During oral arguments yesterday, Rebecca Bradley argued absentee voting is not protected by law.
The law in the state of Wisconsin is that there is a right to vote, but there is not a right to vote absentee. That is a privilege that was granted legislatively.
The August primary is 3 months away, and the November general election is 6 months off. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The man who attempted to take over a plane at the La Crosse Regional Airport in November and then threatened staff and law enforcement was placed in a mental health facility yesterday. Cody Anderson will spend 4 years at the facility on one count of armed robbery with a threat of force. Prosecutors said that Anderson drove a pickup truck through the gate at the airport and took over a private jet, leading to a standoff. Nobody was hurt during that standoff. Two men from La Crosse were rescued from the water in Chitek on Saturday night. In a release, the Barron County Sheriff's Office said that a 58-year-old man and 63-year-old man fell into the water off of the docks at a lakeside restaurant. Investigators said that one of the men fell into the water and the second man jumped in to try to save him. The 63-year-old man was flown to a hospital after being pulled from the water by rescue crews. The 58-year-old man was rescued by people nearby and was treated at the scene. For WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Pirates steal a win from the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled but lost 8-6 to Pittsburgh last night. Jake Bowers hit his first career grand slam in the eighth to bring the crew back to within one, but the Pirates hit another home run in the ninth. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I love our team, huh? Yeah, I love them. You know, the way they battle. We did a lot of things not so good, but we had an opportunity to win the game.
Some bad news for the Brewers. Veteran Rhys Hoskins pulled a hamstring, rounding the bases at first.
Just felt a little grab in the hamstring and kind of learned over the years, especially not to push soft tissue stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have much else for you guys right now.
College football, the Badgers are going to play Alabama Saturday, September 14th, kickoff 11 a.m. It's the first time the Crimson Tide has played at Camp Randall since 1928.
Your best players are your most competitive leaders. You got a chance. You got a hell of a lot better chance to finish.
As Wisconsin Badgers head football coach Luke Fickle with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. Our high today, 71, with wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 44. Tomorrow, sunshine 73, with scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night and right on through Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday on Up North News Radio, from electric school buses to solar panels, how we're educating our children while being better to the environment.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Eagle 1490 AM.
They call me Dr. Jones, known as the Night Tripper. Got my satchel of gris in my hand. Dig me tripping up and back down the bayou. I'm the last of the best, they call me the Greasy Man. Got many clients. Come from miles around, running down my prescription. I got medicine to cure all y'all's ills. I got remedies of every description.
Who did you say this was, Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is a snake oil salesman. Dr. John.
Welcome back. To Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show, Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, what is the music today?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. You know, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So Sandy, you wanted to talk a little bit about, the state of Wisconsin, and, let's talk a little bit about the thought.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm in a position, having retired with a satisfactory pension, et cetera. I could have moved any place. I could be a snow bunny. I could go to Florida. I have no inclination whatsoever. I love the state. I love the seasons. I love the fact that my family's here, the roots, you know, the whole connectivity of the place, the beauty of the driftless area in the west and north. It looks like Finland and Door County, and I just think it's a spectacular state that is kind of a hidden gem. You know, I think Milwaukee's moved in the right direction in terms. So my perspective is that I have no desire whatsoever. If I had all the money in the world, if I win the lottery, I'm not moving from Wisconsin. And I wonder how many of us feel that way. I think more people feel that way than not, but I suspect there are people with a different vantage point.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I, on the other hand, a lifelong resident of the state of Wisconsin, and many friends and relatives have left Wisconsin and of mine, and they say they can no longer take living in an area that is either the first or the second most segregated in the entire nation, where people of color only make up 5% of the overall population. And don't see a whole lot of changes, over, you know, my 70-year lifespan. You know, things have changed, but the segregation of the state of Wisconsin has not changed and probably never will. And so it does depend on who you are. 844-967-2789. You know, I don't know. People tell me about the South. I haven't spent a lot of time in the South. But from what people of color tell me who moved back to the South, they feel more comfortable in that environment than they did in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, you know, you bring up a really good point, because obviously we all look at things from our own vantage point. From my vantage point, I haven't experienced that, except I have watched that. Okay. And it is a sorry thing. In my youth, Milwaukee was a different place than it is today. The segregation really occurred starting in the 50s, and it being such a distinct thing. And then with the growth of the African-American population during the 60s and 70s, as industry recruited people from the South to come up in the North and work in their factories, we ended up with a substantial growth in that population, and the promise of prosperity was like two generations long for those people who were uprooted and moved here with a promise, and the promise was broken when all the jobs were lost. And the situation now is stark. And it is interesting, you're right, that Milwaukee is, I think, first or second in terms of segregation, and it has to do with a societal situation. I mean, there's beautiful housing stock available in what are considered African-American neighborhoods, and there are no non-African-Americans lining up to buy those houses, and they're probably at lower prices than they would be in other places in the community. And it's a sad commentary. And I think Wisconsin long prided itself on being the most progressive state. It was one of the key northern states in the abolition movement. We've always had a progressive outlook until recently. And I would hope that we could at least move back to a progressivity that would try to help solve this social ill we have of segregation, because it's a sad thing.
You know, Sandy, so you think of comparable states, Minnesota, Michigan, and they're even more integrated than Wisconsin, and these are comparable states.
Yeah,
right?
I think Memphis is the other city that's so segregated.
Yeah, but Memphis is in the South.
It's in the South, but I mean, right. Yeah, there's no other northern city that reaches the list of being quite as segregated as we are.
And so I don't know, and that's, to me, that's not a great badge for the state to have, and with all the other great things about it. That's one that I don't know how we get beyond. Certainly it's something that, is not going, people from the North, from the South and the West and the East of color aren't going to be coming to Wisconsin, because it's the most friendly state for people of color. So the only way to expand any of it is through those, born in the state. People of color like myself who have decided that we're going to stay here. This is home, and I'm not going anywhere. I could, if I got $1 million tomorrow, I wouldn't go anywhere else at this juncture in my life. My battle is to fight to try to change the things that, need to be changed. There are others who've left who continue to leave, people of color. But I live in the city that I love and people that I love. And so I think we have a responsibility to fight to try to change the things that that we need to change. And that's the way it's always been historically, right? People before you fight to make things right. Now, are there things about Wisconsin that I love? Oh, man. I don't know the last time, we had hurricanes or the last times we had desert storms, or the last time, the weather.
Yeah, we don't have biblical flooding.
Right.
Yeah, we have tornadoes occasionally. We're not Oklahoma or Kansas. We have
Texas.
Occasional tornadoes and occasional hailstorms. And that's about it. No, I mean, we have a lot to be thankful about. I think what we need to do is get back to societally trying to make sure that Wisconsin is the very best place to live for everybody who lives in it, because it's a great place. It's a great environment. The city of Milwaukee has all kinds of potential. All the cities around the state do, but I think we have to stop being afraid of one another and start embracing one another.
You know, when people of color, when black people only make up 5% of the population, it's hard to get around to the other majority of people and say, hey, how you doing? I'm Earl, a black guy. So it's kind of incumbent upon people who are in the majority, who have, you know, beliefs about people of color that they just hear about and then are afraid to kind of have connection with. When there are so many people who come into Milwaukee, Sandy, for entertainment, you know, people don't think about how bad Milwaukee is when Summerfest is going on. Right?
Yeah.
People don't think about how bad Milwaukee is when, you know, when the symphony is going on. Or when the Bucks are playing. So it's perception more than anything else, and we got to struggle to get past.
And also the whole crime thing. I mean, yes, the crime rate is higher in some parts of Milwaukee, but actually crime is going down. I mean, one of the things that's being talked about nationally is how the country's going to hell, right? We're crime, and we've got in the insane asylums of the world and prisons of the world being emptied into the United States through immigration. None of those things are true, and the crime rate is one of those things that isn't true. Yes, we have crime issues. In particular, we have the issue associated with stolen cars and young people. But violent crime is going down, okay? It's being handled rather effectively. It's going down at a material level nationally and in Milwaukee.
And the crime is based on somebody knowing somebody else.
Yeah, crimes are not...
It's not random.
Right. People are not venturing out to commit crimes in the main. I think the only time that seems to be happening is this whole stolen car phenomena. But the rest of the crime that tends to be happening is interpersonal.
Yes, it's interpersonal. And so when people don't know that and they're led to believe that it's something completely different, it doesn't help with trying to heal the wounds that exist. And so having a conversation, as you and I always have, conversations that most people aren't willing to have. It's why I love having you on and love us doing what we do, because most people aren't willing to have these real conversations that I think are the beginning of changing the perceptions that people have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's what Milwaukee needs, and I think those who live in the suburbs should continue to give to United Way, but they ought to do a lot more than giving at the office. What we need to do is start rolling up our sleeves and working with one another. And I think we can change this. You despair the notion that we can change it. I don't. I think we can.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots? The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Tuesday with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I didn't see your green, blue, and purple beads. Where are they?
Show me. Yeah. I want you to know that our law firm once went to New Orleans and in the French Quarter walked around and we witnessed what goes on in the French Quarter and how beads get collected. And it's not something that should be happening in Milwaukee, let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I saw that, and they collect them, and they redistribute them.
Yes, they reward people with them in an unseemly sort of a way.
Yeah, throwing things.
And
844-967-2789 is Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Let's go to phone lines and Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, guys. Last week, Sandy said something, and I didn't get a chance to say anything about it because my time is up. But when you guys were mentioning about the protests at these colleges with all these students and these infiltrators and stuff like that, Sandy said something like the fact that, we don't wear, a shirt that says Democrats or Republicans. It doesn't really say who we are. I'm sure, whatever. But I don't think that there was one Republican in the United States that was at any of those protests. Sandy, so explain what you meant.
Well, I didn't say that. I even listened to read the transcript and listened to the show, and I never said anything like that, Gary. But I can assure you that in the protests, there probably was a mix. There were pro-Israeli protests as well. And I would hope that young people would feel free to express themselves. It could be. I think I asked the question of what was leftist about the protests. I think I did say that I was surprised that without any research, someone just described the Palestinian protesters, the pro-Palestinian protesters as leftists, okay? But I don't know. I mean, I think that there are plenty of pro-Palestinians who are angry with Joe Biden who might be Republicans.
Well, the thing is, I'm not saying Democrats were there as far as the normal Democrats. It was the extreme left wing of the Democrats that were there calling for.
So Gary, let me, when you call and say the extreme left wing of the Democrats, then isn't there an extreme right wing of the Republicans, Gary?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So let's stop.
Well, and I'm not sure about extreme left wing. I mean, we have.
And what is that?
We have a caller, Malik, who called in, who was, I think, Palestinian from Kenosha. And his politics, I would hardly believe, were left wing or extreme left wing at all. He's a small business owner, I don't think so. I think he happened to have an issue in particular associated with his status as a Palestinian and his knowledge of what's going on in Palestine that was driving him. So I just think when we try to categorize people by their conduct as describing them as left, extreme leftists or extreme rightists, we better at least have a knowledge about what it is, who they are, and what it is they're espousing, and why that would be left wing or right wing.
I'd also say that the 3 days that I visited the UWM campus and talked with the students who were there protesting, from all different backgrounds. They weren't all Palestinians. And so they didn't appear to be extreme left-wing, you know, nuts. They were all people who were balanced, who disagreed with something that was going on, and which they had a right to do. So, you know, it's easy to point the finger and say they're all far left. But, you know, people don't want people, as Standy said, to be talking about the far right people who talk about burning books and, you know, and doing and woke. And what did they used to call Joe Biden? I forgot that name that they called him, Brandon, you know. So anyway, Gary,
I think. I am now remembering, Gary, what it is you're probably reacting to, which is my view is that we've got to get rid of labels so that we can have dialogue that doesn't start out with labeling someone as being an other. You know, if you start out with a label like you're a far leftist that I'm talking to, you've kind of created an environment in which conversation becomes much more difficult. So I guess that was why I raised the subject last week when I talked about how I was surprised at a labeling of the protesters as far left.
Hey, Gary, let me ask you, what is a far leftist?
Anybody who wants to tear up the Constitution and start all over again. That's my opinion.
Actually, the people who've talked about amending the Constitution come from the right more than the left right now. So that would be, you know, amending the Constitution is as close as you can get to tearing it up and starting over again. But I have a problem with all of this talk about the Constitution because I'm interested in which part of the Constitution you're referring to right now that you think they're tearing up. Is it the freedom of speech part?
I have no idea what they're talking about, but I hear them say we want to tear up the Constitution and start all over again.
Oh, I've not. Who has said that? I mean, did any of the protesters say that? And who is it that has said that?
I think Calvin has something he wanted to add. So let's bring a young man in. Calvin.
Well, we're talking about people saying they want to tear up the Constitution. Donald Trump, the nominee for the Republican Party for president, has said he wants to suspend the Constitution when he reaches office. And you'll probably say that that's just a joke or he's not serious, but he said it.
Yeah, well, he also said drink, bleach to get rid of COVID.
Have a Lysol Manhattan.
Yeah. So I'm not talking about you guys as extreme left because you're not.
We're not talking about us, Gary.
But I'm talking about the extreme people that want to make this country into a socialist country that the government takes care of everybody. And you guys know that I'm a capitalist, and I just believe you work hard. You deserve more.
Gary, you're a capitalist, but so are you against Medicare?
No, of course not.
No, Medicare. Well, Medicare is a social program. I mean, it's a socialized insurance program. I mean, we don't have pure capitalism in the United States. None of us are pure capitalists. And so the question is, what blend are we looking for?
So, Sandy, I want Gary to hang on. We're going to let Gene from Eau Claire respond to Gary. Gary, are you willing to hear from Gene? All right. 844-967-2789. Hang on. Mama's cooking.
Mama's cooking. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Fewer people are signing up to serve in the military in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Army National Guard is operating at 90% strength, which is considered low. Data shows a sharp drop in new recruits in the last 20 years. Only about half as many people signed up to serve last year compared to 2004. People in Wisconsin are learning about large-scale renewable energy projects thanks to a $1 million grant to the University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension. The UW's Sherry Gruder says one goal is helping landowners negotiate with developers.
Not all farmers are going to spend $300 to $500 an hour to talk with an attorney, but we could help educate them on that type of thing.
Gruder says they'll also use listening sessions to bust myths about renewable energy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A man is hurt after being hit by a train in Trempealeau County yesterday. The sheriff's office said that a 74-year-old man was found with a broken arm in the Trempealeau Wildlife Refuge yesterday afternoon after a railway employee said that a person had been hit by a train. According to investigators, the man's family reported him as missing right before he was found. The sheriff's office said the man was taken to Mayo Clinic in La Crosse for his injuries. A wave of closures to a chain restaurant is affecting La Crosse. Red Lobster closed its doors yesterday in the city, one of several dozen around the country that are no longer open. The company is currently being liquidated and is considering filing for bankruptcy. Red Lobster has about 650 locations nationwide, including 8 in Wisconsin. Two of the Wisconsin locations, La Crosse and Wauwatosa, are among the closures. An online auction with some of the company's equipment and inventory is scheduled to run through Thursday. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. The Kingdom Rules, the latest installment of the Planet of the Apes franchise called The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, was number one at the domestic box office this past weekend, taking in almost $59 million. The opening haul is good for third overall so far this year after Dune 2 and Godzilla X Kong. The Fall Guy came in a distant second with a little over $13 million. The critically acclaimed Zendaya film Challengers took third. Rounding out the top five are the low-budget horror film Tarot, which came in fourth place, and the aforementioned Godzilla X Kong. According to Variety, cinema prognosticators are semi-encouraged about the strong opening of The Apes. The box office is still down about 40% from pre-pandemic 2019 and almost 20% from last year. Theater owners and studios are keeping their fingers crossed that the upcoming films Mad Max, Deadpool, and Inside Out 2 will rally the summer box office take. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. Our high today, 71, with wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 44. Tomorrow, sunshine 73, with scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night and right on through Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now, from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Next up on The Maggie Dawn Show, if you thought you were afraid of a second Trump presidency, I've got Trump's wish list of Supreme Court nominees. You won't want to miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
I said, hey.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and you know, we still have Gary on the line. So Gary, I just kind of want to give you some responses from some Texers. We've got Tony. Seems like a divided much more along. We're divided much more along age lines than partisan ones. Brendan talks about Trump. Project 2025 placing religious zealots in charge of our government. We pay into Social Security, so it's not an entitlement. PJ, love how they are making Gary eat his words. PJ, Gary doesn't want the government taking care of everyone. I'm sure Gary has limited time left before he's going to wind up on Medicare. Tony, there are no doubt people who have said, let's tear up the Constitution and start over. I think the problem here is that Gary is attributing too much authority to them. They are outliers, not a consensus. Gene is back. So, Gary, we're going to let Gene respond to you, and let's see what she has to say. Gene, you want to respond to Gary's thoughts?
Yeah. You know, Gary, there's that old saying, and Gary, I'm not saying this to be mean because I think you're a really nice guy, got a lot of things going for you. I'm a lot older than you, and I want to say that the saying is, if they're spewing it, they're doing it. Now, you need to start investigating the information that you're hearing, because the only ones that I've ever had that want to have a constitutional Congress are the Republicans. They want to change the Constitution. And the sad thing about it is, you know, if you have females in your home, you better really wake up, because this is against a lot of females in our country. We work very hard so that women could have their own accounts and checking accounts and have their names on deeds and things. And also, I hear and I've heard for years, propagated through right-wing radio, because that's all I used to get, and I was just like you on the phone, fighting back all by myself. But the thing of it is that when Scotty Walker took over our state and took over our institutions that protected people, that broke up our workforce development, our Board of Elections, our ethics committees, and all those things that Trump has already infected, but thank God we have a new president. Things were really scary, and they still are. You know, we all voted for our governor in the state of Wisconsin, our attorney general, our justice system, and all of a sudden they say that, they can't do the job that they used to do, and it's really frustrating to me, Gary. You really need to look this stuff up. I'm hoping you will, because you sound intelligent. Don't be brainwashed. I've been independent my entire life, and I saw good things about both sides. But since Walker was in and he was twirling around in Trump's chair and I watched live, I couldn't believe myself. When I watched Trump live at the United Nations and shoving people around, you know, when all of the heads of their countries were together, push the women out of the way, treat women really, really bad. Gary, you need to watch live, and you need to know what's going on.
All right, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Gary, I'll give you a quick chance to respond.
Well, first of all, I'm older than Gene from Eau Claire.
Well, we don't know, and it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Okay, and I do have women in my house. Now we're empty nesters, but I have a daughter that grew up in my house until she was like 23, and I have a wife. So she probably thinks I'm a single, lonely, old-time Republican living all by myself in a cave, but I'm not. I do watch CNN. I listen to MSNBC. So I hear both sides. The only problem that I wish,
And I know that you, Earl, watch Fox because you get to see both sides. And I know Sandy does too, because he comes up with some good stuff. But I really highly encourage your listeners to listen to two sides and then make up their own mind. And that's what I do. I use my own brain. And as far as one thing that I heard Jeannie say one time when she's talking to Todd Alba about 2 weeks ago, and I have a very nice name for her, you know, and I really like it. But every time I hear Jean, I call her pepper spray Jean, because she said when she goes to the elections that she's going to bring her pepper spray with her. And then Todd Alba, he called her out on it, and then she said, "Oh, I'm just kidding," but you know. Well, and she's nice. I like her. I listen to her okay. all the time. But just
Gary, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I guess we get beyond the point of what this is really about, and that's the fact that, you know, these decisions that are being made, are people really, you know, in tune to the impact of what they are being told? And are they weighing those things? And making decisions themselves based on what, as opposed to reading about these.
Yeah, my fear is that people have decided that it's important to self-label themselves and then to adhere to a bunch of beliefs that are consistent with the label they've adopted. So if I'm a conservative, then I'm going to look for people to tell me what it is that I need to believe and think to be a conservative, and the same is true on the liberal side. And I agree with Gary that's not the path we want to take. I think the path we want to take is everyone needs to be independently evaluating things. But I think we also ought to attribute that independence to others. So we ought to stop labeling others based on an expressed view. If someone expresses a view about one subject, it doesn't mean that they have a consistent thread of views on all other subjects, such that you could label them as a leftist or a far leftist or a right winger. I think what we ought to do is talk to each other issue by issue, matter by matter, and figure out where we agree and where we don't, where we disagree, and how we could reach agreement, and not label ourselves as having some denomination like a religion. You know, religions are usually places where we do have to look in a book to find out what we're supposed to believe, because religions are filled with belief. Politics should not be about beliefs. It should be about qualified opinions. We should be reaching opinions and conclusions based on facts and evaluation, and we should have open minds, because politics isn't liturgical. It's not a matter of faith. Politics is a matter of thought.
Oh, but Sandy, it's too late, I think, to get people to turn around for this election. I just think that people have dug in, and this election, whichever way it turns out, is going to be one of those things based again on he's too far to the left, you're too far to the right. If you ask people to define what that is.
Well, I think that the people who are clearly self-defined probably constitute 35% on each end of the spectrum, which leaves 30% of the people who are independent at some level and are willing to think about the issues and to swing one direction or the other. It's why the polls vary from time to time. And it's why our elections in a 4-year cycle tend to swing from place to place, because we do have a number of people in a center of thought, at least, who are open-minded about how they're going to vote. I wish that number was far larger. But it isn't. So we end up with a very small number of people, a relatively small number of people, making this important decision for us and leaving the 35% who are cemented into a position of either being elated or deflated by the result, which is, again, a problem we've developed in our society, which didn't used to exist, because we used to be able to get along with the president of the other persuasion. And it was okay, you know. It wasn't a tragedy. The world wasn't going to hell. In today's world, the language coming out of the candidates is, the world's going to hell if it isn't me, okay? And, you know, we've got Donald Trump trying to persuade the public that that the world's insane asylums and penal colonies are being emptied into the United States, that crime is on the rise. It's not on the rise. It's going down. In fact, we aren't receiving the people out of the penal colonies and insane asylums of the world, and the populations of those are not going down in the rest of the world because they're all being shipped to the U.S. Our economy is not collapsing. In fact, it's vibrant, okay? But we've got people saying things, doomsday things on both sides of the aisle that have that create an environment for more than just disappointment when the ultimate election decision is made.
All right, let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. The only people I ever hear about wanting to change the Constitution are these MAGA people. In fact, in Louisiana, they got a new governor there in Louisiana. This governor is probably a MAGA. He wants to get rid of the state constitution completely, and he wants to outlaw women to vote there. So I think it's a bad idea to start going down that road, because that's where all your rights are in the Constitution. In fact, I heard sex creep Trump, he was saying that he wanted to sidestep the Constitution. Isn't that where freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of fair trial, isn't that where that's all in there?
Don, people can say, and thank you very much for the call, Sandy, that's at the root of what you're talking about. People can say whatever they want to say. Donald Trump can't unilaterally change the Constitution, nor can the Democrats.
Well, changing the Constitution ends up being quite difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. We've done it a limited number of times. But
one person can't unilaterally do that on his own.
No, of course not. It takes a majority of the states independently, as well as Congress twice. And it's a complicated process. But the problem really, as I said, is it relates much more to the social discourse and what the social discourse is doing to us, and how that then plays out politically, and what the political process is doing to our social discourse, because it could be chicken and egg. Quite frankly, I think it's clearer than that. I think that our political processes have decided through the social media that they now have access to have a substantial impact on our social discourse in a manner that has a great deal of impact on our political activity. And that impact has been extremely disruptive. We accuse other countries of interceding into our country to destabilize us socially, but I think that our political processes and how they're being deployed into our society and the way our society is reacting is, in fact, the destabilization we talk about other people trying to accomplish.
You know, Sandy, the reason that I wanted Gene to have a conversation with Gary is to pinpoint exactly what you and I are talking about. Two different, both Americans, both nice people, but as far away from being able to have a real conversation with one another as the North Pole is from the South. These are not hard-line people. These are average, everyday Americans who can't see the thing through.
Well, I think it's because we fail to talk about a specific subject, and we only talk about generalities, political ideologies rather than specific subjects. If they talked about a particular subject, they probably could get much closer to a conversation.
All right, 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true.
In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of what I think, Sandy, is a great conversation, an in-depth conversation that needs to be had more about where we are in this nation. 844-967-2780. Now, let's go right back to the phone lines quickly. Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. They showed a newsflash yesterday afternoon of a rally Trump was giving. And his latest proposal is to cut off all federal funding to public schools that have vaccine mandates. Now, all our public schools have vaccine mandates for measles, mumps. And I remember when I grew up, and I was about 7, 8, 9 years old, I was afraid of getting polio. Everybody was afraid of polio until they came up with a vaccine. What Trump is talking about is dragging this country back to the wild frontier when when they had diseases like measles and mumps and other diseases that we've solved with vaccines. And he wants to take us back to that. That man is crazy.
Hey, Bob, I wish you had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. You say what?
Good morning. Couple of things. Yeah, back in 1952, 21,000 people, you know, affected by polio. So my subject this morning, as I brought up before, the national organization Braver Angels being intent on bringing the two sides together to find common ground. And in listening to the two sides continually sparring, to my knowledge, this seems like a viable solution. So my question to you both is your familiarity with this organization and your opinion, positive or negative. If it has merit, I'd encourage people to sincerely take a look at Braver Angels online. Thanks.
Hey, Mary, I'll reach out to them, okay? I'll reach out to them. Sandy, you want to respond? All right, let's go to Tom from Richland County. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hey, great hearing your voice. You had a wonderful radio voice.
Thank you.
I just want to mention that from being in the far left, there are no Democrats that are far left for all these people who say there are. The Democrats keep finding a corporate solution to things, and there's all kinds of things we can do that are people working together cooperatively that aren't what the Democrats are going for at all. But racism is really the biggest problem we got in America. It's the original sin, and I feel sorry for anyone who has to suffer the wrong side of that, growing up white and everything. But I'm real proud of your show, and I really appreciate you bringing up all these topics.
Listen, man, thank you very much, Tom, and let others in Richland County know about us. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, first of all, I'm mad at you and Sandy. I run to the mailbox every day looking for Earl the Pearl and the Sandman leaning against a Riviera.
Hey.
I'm like just waiting for that picture, and it never comes, Earl.
We got to find a 73 Riviera. I think Sandy gave me a picture of about a
79. Yeah, I thought I had the car, but it was a 79.
Yeah, 73. But go ahead, Bill.
But here's what I want to tell you guys today. Take your right hand and go on your left shoulder and pat yourself on the back. I can't. I'm not there. You guys are doing something that the country needs, bringing people together to discuss the issues without the swearing, the hollering, the talking over. Just discuss them, because you will prevail. You guys will prevail. I hope you believe in yourselves, because you will prevail. That's what America's after. You know, we hear all these crazy polls. Oh, Trump is, you know, just destroying Biden. And there were 10 million at Trump's rally, when in fact there weren't even near that. The point is, you guys deal in reality and truth. The rest, part of the world doesn't, or part of our country, and people understand that. So just keep doing what you're doing. Pat yourself on the back, or reach over and pat each other. You need to hear it. Hey, you need to understand. You take it to a high level. Thank you.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much. You know, Sandy and I are going to be moving around the state in the coming weeks and months doing this at many of the civic media radio stations. And, you know, Sandy, it's we do handle some subjects that, you know, can be highbrow at times, but we don't mean to be. They're subjects that we need to be having, right? I mean, conversations we need to be having.
Well, I think so. And I think the more that we can talk about actual subjects, and the less we can talk about one another or trying to categorize one another or what's wrong with somebody rather than what's wrong with their thoughts. I mean, I think what we should be talking about is issues and not people. And I think one of the unfortunate qualities of cult politics is that it's all about a person, and it's not about issues. So we've got, for instance, Trumpism. Okay, Trumpism is all about a person, a Trumper, but it's not about bunch of subjects, a bunch of policy issues. And what we need in this country is a discussion about what the country needs to be doing.
Yeah, and so we attempt to do that every Tuesday and every Friday. And we're flattered that, you know, Sandy and I've been doing this a while now, and none of this is staged, none of this is pre-staged,
or even rehearsed.
No, it's not, but you know, Sandy, what you do is you make people think, and you make me think, and I hope in turn we make others think. That's how you bring about change, right? I mean,
sure.
It's got to be through thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the question I asked of one of the callers who talked about tearing up the Constitution was, okay, which part of the Constitution? If we can ask ourselves, ask one another specific questions, not assert something contrary to what they're saying, but ask somebody a question about why they're thinking what they're thinking, it will create, number one, a communication. The listener will learn something. And the person who's questioned might learn something as well, because it'll force them to dig into their thought process and try and figure out why they think what they think. And I think in today's world, we have too many people who don't understand why they're thinking some of the things that they're thinking, why they have positioned themselves the way they have positioned themselves. And when they're pressed on details for it, it might cause them to move off the schneid.
You know, Sandy, global leaders can take a lesson from that as well. Thank you very much for making the show go. Thank you, Sandy. We'll see you on next Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a break on Friday and traveling to Cincinnati with the crew that I coach. So.
All right. Be safe. Thank you, Calvin, as always. Up next, Jane Matinier, Matinier on Air, and Greg Bott. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jane Matinier and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, executive producer Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33. In hour number two, what would a second Trump term mean for your health care? Don't miss it.
Matinier on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WISC Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. Plus, earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.